Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. I was happy Friday night. That message was right on, and he drilled down and got right down to it. I was happy. I hadn't felt like that in a long time. Just enjoyed the presence of God. And, of course, the next morning was as good or better. Of course, I was worried about my failed jambalaya. But I enjoyed that, too. You know, that's it, and Bible conference is too short, and I understand it, so I'm going to pretend to extend it. I'm going to try to say something along the lines of what Brother Hancock said, and maybe we'll get something out of it. So, if you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 3. 2 Chronicles, chapter 3, verse 17, and it says, "And he reared up, or stood up, pillars before the temple, one on the right hand and the other on the left. And he called the name of the one on the right hand Jachin, and the name of that on the left Boaz." Galatians chapter 2, verse 9 says, "And when James and Cephas," or Peter, "and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, Paul, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go to the heathen, and they unto the circumcision." Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, and we ask that Jesus Christ would be glorified. We ask that he would be magnified. By all means, Lord, help me to present Jesus Christ. Again, we had a good Bible conference, and we saw the Lord. We were in his presence, and our attention was directed to Jesus. And I pray that you'll help me the day after the Bible conference is over to do the same thing that the great evangelist did, point people to Jesus. Lord, help us. Open the eyes of the understanding of everyone listening, and please touch their hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. The temple of God. I know, and I've been threatening, saying at some point I need to teach on the tabernacle or the temple or what have you. In Exodus chapter 25 to the end, it talks about the tabernacle of Moses. It was a tent, it was a movable structure. Eventually they made a temple, Solomon did. And then there were several iterations thereunto. Herod made one, etc. The Bible says that there's a temple in heaven. One day when Jesus comes back, he's going to bring that temple with him and set it down in Israel. And all nations of the world will flow unto it. And we're looking for that great day. Let me say that Jesus is coming back. Better get ready or get used to it or something, because Jesus is coming back. No more crooked politicians when he gets here. Praise God. No more crack cocaine, no more busted up marriages, just ain't going to have no more. And God's righteousness will be here, and it'll fall from heaven like rain on us, and God will help us. But Solomon, he's the one that built the temple of God. God gave David the plans, and his son Solomon built it. But it says here that that was the temple, and it was made out of gold and stone and all of this stuff. And again, it was not a tent in the wilderness. It was a structure that was intended to last. And we could take the time, and I promise I will get to it, to go through the temple, the different pieces of furniture, the doors, the handiwork, the door decorations and what have you, and all of these things, even down to brass tacks, it says. All of it is important, and I won't teach that far down, I suppose, but when I finally get to it. But all of it is important. All of it is theology. I've said again and again, if you want to understand your New Testament, you need to understand the Old, because without the Old, you're in a vacuum. You have no context. And there are some Christian denominations that we don't want the Old, and their theologies run in the ditch. Sorry if you're upset about it. But Solomon, or whoever it was, in front of the temple, before the temple, it says, and he reared up pillars, or stood up pillars, before the temple, in front of it, on one hand and on the other, and named them, and it's Jacob and Boaz, the two names, and I forget which is which, but one means, in him is strength, in other words, God. The other one, the name of it means, in Hebrew, he shall establish. You know, this thing is all about God, and what God has done, and who God is, and etc. And we'll get to it, but he said, I'll build my kingdom. But this pillar, or these pillars, they were fashioned out of brass. And that's important, and we'll get to it, but they stood in front of the temple made out of brass. But it says in Galatians, as I read, that Peter, James, and John, who seemed to be pillars, they appeared to be pillars in the church. They recognized the hand of God on Paul. We understand that Paul, he wasn't a disciple before. We understand that he got into it late. We understand that he persecuted the church, and then God met him on the road to Damascus and changed his direction, let's say. Changed his heart, called him to be a preacher. He pastored and started churches. He evangelized. He taught a lot. Called him to be an apostle, it says. Not of the will of man, or by man, or of man, but by the will of God, it says. Let me say, if you're going to preach the gospel, you ought to be called of God, not called of grandma. You ought to be called of God. But he appeared and said, hey guys, I ain't, you know, killing disciples no more. I'm a Christian now. And it took a while for him to get established and recognized. But it says, Peter, James, and John, who seemed to be pillars or bright lights, if you would, in the temple, or in the church, should I say, they recognized the hand of God on Paul's life and said, okay, let's work together in the kingdom of God. And again, they were apostles, the three of them. Paul was an apostle. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. You know, every time I get to a passage or a verse of Scripture and there's certain error in the church and we just happen to be here, I try to correct it. There's no such thing as a fivefold ministry. Get as mad as you want. There's a fourfold ministry. In the Greek, it's apostles 1, prophets 2, evangelists 3, and pastors and teachers 4. Can go into the temple. Again, we've not laid the foundation for it, but the Ark of the Covenant and the brazen altar and all that stuff, these things were meant to be carried. And there were four rings, and they'd take two poles stuffed through the four rings, and they'd get some Levites, priests, or whatever, to carry it. One on each side. There were four. The fourfold ministry. Big point, little point, I don't know. But it, to me, I think we ought to rightly divide the word of truth. But the fourfold ministry, the apostles, prophets, evangelists, and the office and work of the pastor and his underlings, the Sunday school teachers or whatever. This is God's ministry. This is what God set in the church. It's what he gave the church, these four classifications of ministers, to do the work of the ministry, to win souls, to go on the mission field, to teach the gospel, what have you, so that the church would grow, and obviously to win the lost. There's another list here I'd like to look at in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28. It's a list. It's a different kind of list, but it's a list. And it says, God hath set some in the church. First, apostles. Secondarily, prophets. Thirdly, teachers. After that, miracles. And then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Now, that's a lot of stuff jammed into one list. Now, I understand, you know, an apostle and a pastor and all that stuff. Those things go together in my mind. But this other list, and it's from God, he lumps all these different things, speaking in tongues and apostles and governments and all of this stuff together. It's a list. But it says first, apostles. Secondarily, prophets. Thirdly, teachers. Doesn't mention evangelists. And like I said, it's my custom that when I read a verse and I'm preaching on it, if there's an error, I address it. There are a number of apostles and prophets, or they call themselves, it's part of the Latter Rain movement, that's a big topic, part of the Kansas City prophets, etc. They set themselves up as, hey, we're number one. And if you want to be a part, you need to come and kiss our ring or what have you. Then the prophets, they're not quite an apostle, but they're secondarily, they're right up there. And they hook their thumbs and they strut around and look at us. They go telling other churches that they have to submit and all this stuff. And maybe you get upset when I say it. I'm sorry, but this is something in the church and it's error and it ought to be corrected. But he does say, he said some first in the church, first apostles and secondarily prophets and thirdly teachers. It says that. And that's true. That's the honor. But there's more to it. You know, in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, this is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. You want to be a bishop. That's a good thing. And bishops are great. Now, in Pentecostal Church of God and perhaps other denominations, we have a man that is generally not a pastor per se, but he is in charge of the local pastors and the local churches to make sure that the administrative stuff is taken care of, to make sure that everything goes right with the business and what have you, and the ministry. That's his position. The word here, bishop, in the Greek is the same word as elder. In this context, it means if you want to be a pastor or an elder or a bishop, it's the same word. Episkopos, I think, is the word. It's the same thing. And if you read the Bible and you run across the words bishop or elder or pastor, it's the same Greek word. There's another office. Now, we gave the fourfold ministry, and I understand that, but there's also another office called deacon. The word deacon means servant. And if you look at the bishop and then you look at the deacon, you've got the guy that's the pastor, and then you got the guy that assists the pastor. I guess you could say that it corresponds to the priest in the Old Testament and the Levites. But if a man desires the office of the ministry, some sort of pastoral role, he desires a good work. And again, if you count the list, pastors way down on the list, I suppose. But Jesus said in Mark chapter 9, verse 35, and he says it in other places, and he sat down and called the 12 and saith unto them, if any man desire to be first, the same shall be last of all and servant of all. Again, there are those in the flesh that want to be first and want to be recognized and want to be looked at and etc. And if you want to be in the ministry, that's a good work. But Jesus said, if you want to be first or chief, you have to be a servant. Generally, in the business world, the guy at the top, the CEO, he makes the most money and he's at the top of the organizational chart and all that stuff. But Jesus said, hey, it's not going to be so among you. You want to be in charge? Well, okay, fine. You want to be in the ministry? Okay, fine. But you need to take that pyramid with the CEO at top and turn it upside down, and the CEO is at the bottom. It's a good work to be in the ministry, but you're at the bottom. And everybody else in the church, the Sunday school, they're sitting in the pew or whatever, or those that maybe you're trying to get to come to church or whatever, they're above you. You're at the bottom, and they're above you. You want to be first? Great, but first means you're at the bottom. You're on your knees. Paul, you can read of Paul's testimony in one of the epistles. He talks about that, hey man, every time I turn around, I got this burden of praying for the church. I do all of this and I do all of that. And aside from that, I also got to pray for all of them churches I started. And he doesn't really say, you know, you Corinthians or whatever y'all doing wrong, thou shalt not change or thou shalt do this or whatever. He doesn't say that. He says, I beseech you. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. He was the apostle. He started, I don't know, hundreds of churches or however many it was. But he didn't hook his thumbs and say, I'm in charge. Look at me, bud. You do what I say or else hit the road. He said, I humbly beseech you. It's a position of authority. No question about that. But again, the pastor's at the bottom. If that's what you desire, you want to be a pastor, you're at the bottom. Apostle, we're going to get there. The apostles first, it says. Secondarily, prophets, etc. Well, if you're going to put them in order, the apostle, chief, he's even lower than the pastor. We have it all turned around too often. God has a way. God has a way, and we ought to get with His program. His ways are higher than ours. We need to change our ways, change our thoughts, and learn what He has to say. If any man desire to be first, the same should be last of all and servant of all. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 9 and to verse 14, I suppose. Paul said, for I think that God hath set forth the apostles last, as it were, appointed to death. For we are made a spectacle unto the world, unto the angels, and unto men. Well, look at me, I'm on TV. Look at me, I got thousands of churches and hundreds of countries, and they all surrender to me. No. Nothing like that. Paul's opinion, and he was an apostle, his opinion of his job was that he was last and appointed unto death. And a spectacle. People laughed at him. And he was appointed unto death. We know that Jesus died for our sins, and there's nobody that can ever approach that. I mean, you can give your body to burn, Paul said, but his sacrifice, if he gives his body to be burned or whatever, or some martyr in some foreign field or something, that's great, but it affects no salvation. Jesus' blood, his atoning sacrifice is the one that matters. But he calls us to carry our cross, to pick it up, an instrument of death, and to deny ourselves. Well, I want to do this, and I want to be on TV, and I want to... No, deny yourself. Take up your cross and carry it. And Jesus carried his cross to Golgotha, and they nailed him to it. And he hung and bled and suffered, and then he died. You want to be an apostle, it has to do with suffering and putting everybody else's needs first. I mean, you're not famous because it talks about being a spectacle. It says, we are fools for Christ's sake, but ye are wise in Christ. We are weak, but ye are strong. Ye are honorable, but we are despised. In other words, the apostle suffered, was stoned, laughed at, mocked, etc., so that those he ministered to could be exalted, could be strengthened in the church and taught the things of God. They excelled while he suffered. Even under this present hour, we both hunger and thirst and are naked and are buffeted and have no certain dwelling place. I have no idea where I'm going to live tonight, sleep tonight, is what he's saying. He had no idea. Didn't have a house. Sometimes slept in this parsonage, maybe, or this guy's floor. Sometimes slept in a barn. Sometimes slept in the weeds. Had no idea where he was going to sleep from night to night. And labor, working with our own hands. Oh, do you understand? I got all these people giving all this money to me, and I'm, you know, giving prayer cloths in the mail, and they're dropping money in the altar nowadays. Nope. We labor working with our own hands. You know, everybody in this district, if they're not retired, they got a job. Being reviled, we bless. Bless and curse not. Pray for those that despitefully use you, Jesus said. Being persecuted, we suffer it. We allow it. You want to call me names? Well, go ahead. You want to throw stuff at me? Go ahead. Not going to fight back. Being defamed, we entreat or pray for you. Pray for those who despitefully use you. We are made as the filth of the world. Filth. We are the offscouring of all things unto this day. The word offscouring, we don't use that word anymore, but if you got a pot that's rusted or got grease on it or whatever, you get the Brillo pad and you get to scrubbing. Now, it's a pot. It makes good things to eat, but you wouldn't want to scrub on that pot for 5 minutes and then pour it out into a bowl and here, serve that. No, you want to pour that down the drain as fast as possible. That's the offscouring. The apostles are made the filth of the world and the offscouring. You want to pour that down the drain and go off into the sewer. You want to be an apostle? You want to get on TV? No. You want to be an apostle? And again, you desire a good work. You choose a life of being last and laughed at and mocked and disregarded. And when you stand up and try and help people and tell them the right thing, they kick you to the side, don't want to hear you. Tell lies about you, tell that, hey, you know, this guy stole or this guy's a child molester or whatever. All sorts of horrible lies about you. And he says, I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons, I warn you. Again, we have this thing all backwards and turned around. Matthew chapter 17. We read about the Mount of Transfiguration. Peter, James, and John, same three guys. They said, hey, you know, we saw Jesus and Moses. Hey, let's make three tabernacles, or three temples, and stay. Man, I had such a good time yesterday and the night before at Bible camp. I wanted to build the tabernacle and stay. But, well, praise God, that's not the way it works. We have to go on and walk this thing out. It was good. It was a wonderful presence of God, but you know, a voice came from heaven, and a big bright cloud overshadowed them, and God spoke from heaven, just like in Exodus. This is my beloved Son. Hear ye him. The point is Jesus, and so often we forget it. You know, we had good Bible camp, and etc., and we can name a lot of things that are great. Got good singing, good stuff on the radio sometimes, or whatever. A bunch of good things in the church, but it's about hearing him. focusing on Him, and we get our eyes on everything else, but we need to focus and hear ye Him. You know, you go a chapter back, chapter 16 of the book of Matthew. Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church. Now, Peter made this big comment, whatever, and Jesus said, that's funny. But you know, Peter, you're a rock. And upon this rock I'll build my church. And you know, the Catholics, they run with this down the road. We just read, and it's, if you flip the chapter back to chapter 17, hear ye Him. Not Moses and Elijah, not tabernacles, not all that. Man, we'll call people up here and no. Hear ye Him. In Greek, thou art Petros, a little pebble, Peter. But upon this Petra, a great mountain, I'll build my church. The church is not built on Peter. Church is built on Jesus. Paul said, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, that rock was Christ. Jesus is the rock. You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. And you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Or if you like, you can write me at 324 Codifer Boulevard, number 9. That's Codifer Boulevard, number 9, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.